Well, good morning. Welcome you to Seacoast Church. My name is Josh Surratt. If I haven't met you yet, I serve as the lead pastor here at Seacoast, and it's an incredible honor to be with you guys this weekend. And this is a historic weekend here at Seacoast because as we speak, we are right now launching our 14th physical location, campus in Summers Corner out in the Somerville area. So we are so grateful for you. I want to welcome you guys to the Seacoast family. Some of you are looking at me right now on a screen going, what in the world is going on? What kind of church is this? And we're just glad that you're here. And we know that God is on the move. And it's really fitting to me that we would be launching this location during our series on the book of Acts. Because if you are new to Seacoast, we've been reading through the book of Acts this summer and just looking at the incredible, miraculous beginnings of the church and what God did in the church and through the church as it expanded. But if you go all the way back to Acts chapter 1, I want to show you as it all gets started, Jesus is talking to a pretty small group of people, estimated about 120 people that were believers at the time. And here's what he said. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And this small group of 120 people, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, began to see the gospel, the good news of Jesus, which, by the way, it's good news. If you've been around church and maybe you've only heard about how terrible your sin is, it is terrible. But the good news is Jesus came to free us from our sin, to free us from our shame, from our guilt, and give us a new life and change us. So it's good news. The gospel begins to spread and it goes throughout Jerusalem and Israel and then all the way out to Asia Minor and Ephesus and all of these other countries that I can't pronounce what they are. And by the end of the book of Acts, they're in Rome. People all throughout Rome know about this good news. Guys, that's about 4,000 miles away from Jerusalem. There was no social media. There was no airplanes. Just the good news spreading from one person to another. And here we are thousands of years later, and that's why I'm so excited about Summer's Corner, is that the good news is gonna continue to be preached, and we're gonna be witnesses. And even the story of James and Caroline, who lead Summer's Corner, Pastor James Murray, I was sitting on the porch with him a couple weeks ago, and he was just telling me his story. He and Caroline were dating. They did not know the Lord at all. They did not have any kind of church background. And he started working out at a CrossFit gym in Hanahan. Anybody do CrossFit here in the house? We already know. See, we already know you do CrossFit. You don't even have to raise your hand. We see it all over your social media. So anyways, I do it as well, so I'm talking myself. But he shows up to this CrossFit gym, and there are two believers that are working out with him. And one of them's name is Jeff Leinberger, who happens to also, at the time, had been the campus pastor at our North Charleston campus. And they begin to get to know each other. Jeff and Stacy, by the way, I could go back further. They walked into the doors of this church about 15, 20 years ago, clueless about anything to do with Jesus, and gave their life to Christ. But so he starts connecting with this guy, James, and they start having breakfast, and then James and Caroline start coming to the Dream Center. James and Caroline both radically commit their life to Christ, literally moved out, made a commitment to purity, ended up getting married, and God just transformed their lives in a major way. And then a few years later, he was a teacher. A few years later, he left the education world and came on staff at the Dream Center to do small groups and help people get connected at our Dream Center. And then a couple of years after that, he moved over to the Somerville campus to apprentice under Roy Jakes as the assistant campus pastor. And then today, this guy who didn't know Jesus from Adam at a CrossFit gym a few years ago is leading the charge at Summer's Corner. And so how cool is that? Just a testimony of how God can change lives. And I know he's changed many of our lives here today. And we're gonna jump into the book of Acts. Before I do, I wanna let you know about two things. One, next weekend, the OG, Pastor Greg Surratt, our founding pastor, we thought this was gonna be the end of the Acts series, but he went and got a word from the book of Acts, and he's gonna preach it next week. And so it's gonna be great. We'll finish the series next week. Always love hearing from him and what God is doing in his life. And then 2 weeks from now, we're launching a new series. I'm gonna kick it off in 2 weeks, and it's called Digital Detox. I don't know what you felt in your room, wherever you're watching it, but in this room, there was a very audible response to that. And how many of you know that our phones are great, right? They were invented to help us be more efficient. And I read my Bible on my phone most days, and there's a lot of good, but most of us would say that these things have taken more than they've given us. And we're gonna look at how do we reclaim what matters the most. This is not gonna be a series where we rail against technology because it's a part of our lives, but we're gonna study God's word and how we can learn how to handle this better. And I would just encourage you, every beginning of the year, we start with 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I would just encourage you to start thinking and praying and maybe having conversations with people that you love about, is there an element of technology that God might ask you to fast during this series? Maybe an app or two on your phone that become time wasters for you. But we're gonna look at reclaiming because many of us are missing the things that matter the most in our life because of technology. And so it's gonna be a life-giving series. I'm looking forward to it. You may wanna invite somebody to be a part of that as well. But today we get to talk about the book of Acts. And my assignment was Acts chapter 21 through 28. And so just don't mind while I do 7 chapters of the Bible in about 20 minutes. We're just gonna hurry through it. But thinking about the themes that show up in these passages, and really the theme that stood out to me was delays. How many of you have ever experienced a significant delay in your life? Yeah, I mean, many of us, maybe we're experiencing a delay even right now. I've been so looking forward to kicking off the new year and the school year and getting back into rhythm. Summer, of course, is always a little crazy. I've got some students booing me on the school year, but this last week was gonna be like my first real like normal week back with all my normal rhythms of meetings and connections. And I started the week at 8:30 on Monday morning. My first appointment was at the dentist's office. Praise God for first meeting of the week, dentist's office. And it was at that meeting that I was informed that I needed to have oral surgery soon. And so that was not on my radar. That was not something that I was looking forward to or hoping, didn't plan for that this fall. And so I scheduled it. And then I got back to the office and my assistant shared with me that I scheduled it on our all staff day where all of our staff's coming in. So then we've been working to reschedule it and it's just not working. There's not a good spot. I was like, God, if this is your plan, you might should have checked with my assistant before you scheduled it. And I know that's a minor inconvenience and some of us have experienced much more significant delays and some of us are experiencing major delays right now. Delays come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Some of them are in our relationships. And maybe you always thought that at this point in your journey, you would be in a different spot relationally. Maybe you thought you'd be married by now, or maybe you thought you would still be married at this point. You're walking through a separation or a divorce and significant delays. Didn't see that coming. Sometimes it's in our careers. And maybe you feel like you've been grinding and you've been doing everything you know to do, but the promotion isn't coming and nobody seems to be noticing. Or maybe you launched a business and took a huge step of faith and it just feels like there have been closed doors and it hasn't been going in the way that you thought it was gonna go. And most of us can identify with those types of delays. There are delays in our health. I know that there are friends of mine right now that are facing very, very significant disruptions. And to call it a delay or disruption is really not even to do it service for what you're dealing with. Maybe you're waiting on a result or you're waiting to be healed of a disease. And that can be hard. All kinds of different delays, financial. Maybe it's just life circumstances. You know, you show up to a Coldplay concert and the next thing you know, you're on the Jumbotron and didn't see that coming, right? Sorry. I don't make light of what happened there. I mean, but it's like, man, all of a sudden, like the stuff you thought nobody would ever know about becomes public, and that can be a disruption in our lives. But how do we handle it? How do we handle it? I know how I want to handle it. Usually I get impatient. I try to force things, get frustrated. But if I were to sum up Acts chapter 21 through 28, if it was a movie, we could call it The Fall of Saul. Or when the stuff hit the fan in Saul's life. It was like Paul's life. Everything begins to fall apart for him. If you remember Paul, he was Saul. He had a radical encounter with Christ, and he becomes one of these guys that God is using to expand the gospel throughout that region. He's been on these missionary journeys. He's been in Ephesus, and he's been in Asia Minor. And in Acts chapter 21, his goal, he's been kind of working towards getting back home to Jerusalem. I'm gonna go back to Jerusalem, and I'm gonna share the good news with my Jewish brothers and sisters. And you know, he used to be a Jew. He used to persecute Christians. He actually was still a Jew, but he used to persecute Christians. But now God has changed his life in such a dramatic way. And he's so excited to get back to Jerusalem, and everything falls apart. In fact, not long after he gets back, a mob forms against him. They try to kill him. He gets arrested. While he's in jail, there's a group of very religious people who made a vow and said, we won't eat, we won't drink, we will do nothing until this man is killed, until we murder this man. Isn't it funny how religion can make you do such stupid things sometimes? Their religion said they weren't allowed to murder, yet now they are, because of their religion, going, we're gonna murder this guy. It's like they're so entangled in what they believe is right. And Paul has this hit out now on his life. And so they have to sneak him away, and they take him to Caesarea, which is a town on the coast of Israel. And in Caesarea, he meets with the governor. His name's Felix, which is a really cool name. And he gets persecuted there. Then he gets thrown in jail. Then the Felix says, hey, it's just gonna be a few minutes, a couple days, turns into 2 years that he's stuck in this jail. And then eventually he appeals to Rome, and he gets sent to Rome on a boat, and the boat has a shipwreck, and the boat completely disintegrates, and they float to the shore holding on to pieces of wood to get to shore, but they safely arrive to shore, and the people are nice, and they start a fire, and he's sitting around the fire. Thank God the storm is over. And then a poisonous snake bites him by the fire. Literally, you can't make this stuff up. His life goes from one crazy delay to another. And yet at the same time that all of that's happening, the gospel is expanding. And God is using him to see the gospel expand in very, very significant ways. And there's something about the way Paul carries himself when life does not go the way he thought it was going to, that becomes a fertile soil for Jesus to use him in a significant way. And so I would just ask us to look at the text and to see what we can learn about those moments where life isn't going the way we thought it was going to, and how we can handle those moments in a way that not only strengthen us and grow us deeper, but also expand the good news. I titled the message, Don't Despise the Divine Delays. Let's jump in. What can we learn from Paul? The first thing we can learn about divine delays is that delays are often God's detours for greater influence. Delays are often God's detours for greater influence. So Paul finally gets to Jerusalem, like we talked about, and this is where he's been wanting to go. And it doesn't take very long for this mob to form against him. Like I said, he gets arrested and he's in prison. And look what happens in Acts chapter 23, verse 10. It says, as the conflict grew more violent, the commander was afraid that they would tear Paul apart. I don't know if you've been in a fight where you were losing so bad that people were like, I think that they're gonna get torn apart limb by limb. And so he ordered his soldiers to go and to rescue him by force and take him back to the fortress. That night, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, be encouraged, Paul. Just as you have been a witness to me here in Jerusalem, you must preach the good news in Rome as well. In Rome? Like, his entire focus, his plan was, I'm going to Jerusalem. And then an angel shows up and says, hey, by the way, Jerusalem was part of the plan, but there's something else going on that you didn't know about, which is that you're gonna actually go to Rome and I've got a plan for you there. It was a detour for him. It wasn't just that God had forgot about him or forgot his address or, hey, where are you? No, I know where you are, but I've got something else in mind for you. How many of you use the app Waze on your phone? Anybody use that? That's one I will not be getting rid of during our digital detox series. I love Waze. I love Waze because Waze always helps me. My wife and I went on a date on Friday night, and we went downtown Charleston. We love to go downtown. I've probably driven from my house to downtown Charleston 1,000 times. And I know the fastest way to get downtown from my house. One way is about 3 or 4 minutes faster than the other. But every time I leave my driveway to go downtown, I pull out Waze and I put in the address to where I'm going. Why? Because sometimes, 8 out of 10 times, Waze takes me the way I thought it was going to, but 2 out of 10 times, it takes me the other way. And early on when I was stubborn, I'd be like, you know what? I know the faster way. I'm gonna go the faster way. But guess what? Waze knew something about my journey that I didn't know. Waze knew that there was an accident or there was a delay, there was a construction. And what I've learned, and one of our mottos in our house, I actually learned this from Pastor Roy Jakes, very spiritual, you may wanna write this down. Always trust Waze. Just always do, right? If when in doubt, just trust Waze. Waze knows what's going on. It sees things that you don't know, and I think that you know where I'm going with this. Is that when life goes in a direction we didn't see coming, probably God saw some things in your future that you didn't know were coming. God had some plans for your future that you didn't know were coming. And so always trust God. Just always trust him. He knows. And again, I'm not saying he causes all of these delays. There are some delays that he brings about. There are other delays that are brought about because of sin and because of fallen nature and even things. But what I can be assured of is whether we caused it, whether somebody else caused it, or whether he caused it, we can trust him in the middle of it. I love Proverbs says, in their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. What delay are you walking through right now? Perhaps it's not a delay at all. Maybe it's a detour. Maybe God had something that you didn't know was coming. Why do we launch a campus this weekend in Summer's Corner? I was praying for you guys in Summer's Corner this week, and I had to reflect back on our journey. And back in 2001, we were meeting in where our students are currently meeting in the building that I'm in right now. We had about 1,300 seats, and we had planted this church. My dad and mom moved here, and the biggest church we'd ever been a part of was 300 or 400 people. And so it was growing. This church was growing, and we were doing 5 services in 2001, and we were doing everything we could to reach people. The gospel was expanding, but we were getting tired, and our team was burning out, and we knew we had to find a solution to the growth issues that we had. And so we met with our town, Mount Pleasant, the planning committees and commissions, and went through a journey of about 10 or 11 months of planning to build a building like the one that we're in right now, 2,500 seats. And we went through this entire journey, and it was an election year. And it was one of those years where in the local politics, it was the growth people and the anti-growth people. And all of us, if you've lived in Charleston, you know that growth can come with its share of challenges. And there was a movement of people that were trying to slow that down. And we just kind of got caught up in the middle of it. We weren't trying to be involved in it, but we were. And at the very last minute, after all of this planning and money and vision cast to the church of we're going to move into this building, we were told by the town, you will not build that building. You will never build that building. We will not have a church that size in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. I remember how discouraging it was for our lead pastor at the time, my dad, and for our team. It was like, well, what are we gonna do? Like, what? He always tells a story that he went into his office and shut the door and turned out the lights and turned on some country music and had a pity party, right? Because in country music, somebody lost their dog, lost their girlfriend, lost their truck, something happened. But then after the pity party, God began to show him that this wasn't a delay. Don't get bitter at the town, that this is actually a detour, that there's another way of doing church and we're gonna be on the leading edge of that. And so he came and announced to our team that, hey, we're gonna do a campus. And like, what does that mean? Like, well, we're gonna do church and there's gonna be worship and there's gonna be small groups and then we'll watch the message via video. And we said, well, who would wanna watch you on video? Why wouldn't they just stay home and watch TV? Like, you know. And he said, well, thanks for the endorsement. You're gonna help be a part of it. And so he sent us, me and a couple of others, to go launch this campus. And to our surprise, it worked. And people began to meet Jesus and the gospel began to expand in this new way of doing church. And then a church in Columbia called us and said, hey, we're gonna close our doors unless you guys wanna do a campus like what you're trying down there. And we're like, well, let's try it. And it worked. And then a year later, they launched another campus in Irmo and then West Ashley and Somerville and North. And it just kind of, and now we're continuing to see the gospel. And guess what? None of that would have happened if we had not experienced a significant delay in what we thought we were supposed to do. Amen. And The town was wrong, by the way. We did eventually get to build the building too, which is so awesome in God and his faithfulness. And guess what? We're experiencing growing pains again. And some of you have lost your salvation in the parking lot. You got saved here and then you lost it right in the parking lot but we're working and we're experiencing more delays and we're gonna continue to believe that God's got something in store for us and we'll continue to talk about it. I don't know what delay you're walking through right now, but it's possible that it's a detour. What I know beyond a shadow of a doubt is that Romans 8:28 says, and we know that God causes everything, not just the good things, everything, to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Divine delays. You know what's fascinating about this detour to me? Paul actually knew it was coming. He actually, a prophet told him that. If you go back to chapter 21, let me just show you this really quickly. It says, several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over and he took Paul's belt off of him and he bound his own feet and his hands with Paul's belt. And then he said, the Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. You would think, whoa, warning, good, we're not going to Jerusalem. When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. But he said, why all this weeping? You're breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus. And when it was clear that we couldn't persuade him, we gave up and we said, the Lord's will be done. Paul got a warning. He said, you know what? I know it's gonna be painful, but I'm gonna go. He was willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel, not because he loved pain, but because he loved people. You know, our low tolerance for suffering often limits our spiritual impact that we can have in other people's lives. The question that God challenged me with as I was praying and preparing for this weekend is, Josh, what is your threshold for pain that you're willing to go through in order to see the gospel expand? And I was like, well, it's not being beheaded. Paul, I can look at him and be like, that's crazy. You know, Paul goes to Rome eventually, and he eventually would be led out of the city, and he would be beheaded for his faith. But the reality is that God doesn't often ask me to go to those extremes, but he does ask me to obey him in areas that don't make sense to me. He does ask me to be willing to be uncomfortable, to lean into a conversation about faith with people who may not know him. Sometimes I don't want to be known as that guy. What's your pain threshold? What are you willing to go through in order to see the gospel expanded? The American church, and I'm not being critical of it because we're a part of it, but sometimes we have been trained that comfort is our God and our idol, and we should just all do the things that make us comfortable. When we read these stories, I'm challenged to go, no, we have to be willing to share in his resurrection and in his suffering to realize the world will hate us at times because of our faith. We have to be willing to go for it. So sometimes these detours, these delays are detours. Second thought for us is that delays are often for deep work, not wasted time. I don't know about you, but I can be so tempted at times when life doesn't go my way to go, oh, this is wasted time. I'm just gonna wait it out until I get back on the journey and the destination that I thought I was gonna go to. And I already shared with you with this next passage, if you follow along on your app, it talks about how Paul gets, he escapes the Jewish mob. He goes to Caesarea and he's in front of this guy named Felix. And Felix is fascinated with him. He's interested in his story. He brings his wife in to meet with him from time to time. But Felix is a cowardice leader and he doesn't want to make a decision on him. It's a complex deal. He doesn't want to make the wrong decision. So he just delays the decision. And at the end of that passage, it says, this went on for 2 years. Have you ever had a leader that delayed a decision that had an impact in your life? You feel like you're left in a holding pattern because a leader is not willing to make a decision? 2 years, Paul is sitting in prison waiting on this guy to make a decision. And then a transition happens. The leader's gone. A new leader comes in. His name's Festus. They were crushing the baby naming game back then. Felix and Festus, love that. And the process starts all over again. And it would be very easy for Paul to sit around in jail for 2 years and go, you know what? waste of time. But you know what we learn when you study church history? Is that those 2 years that they spent were 2 years that him and a guy named Luke, who was a doctor, spent the entire 2 years together. And they took that time to interview a lot of eyewitnesses who were alive during Jesus's time, and including Mary, the mother of Jesus. And it turns out that those 2 years became the 2 years where Luke was gaining source material to write the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which happened to be the majority of the New Testament in terms of the number of scriptures written. And so this delay in Paul's life ends up being actually a moment where we're reading and talking about words that were written during this time, because it was a time where they did deep work in their own life, and they also did deep work in discipling other believers to share the story. In fact, 4 of Paul's letters were written from prisons. He didn't look at delays as wasted time. He looked at them as opportunity to do deep work. Last thought for us about divine delays is use every delay as an opportunity to tell your story. Use every delay as an opportunity to tell your story. We all have a story. And most of us struggle at times with, how do I tell my story? Like, I don't know if I, you know, will have this crazy testimony like somebody, but it's like, no, every one of us has a story. Some of you are still living in the before part of your story. And maybe even this weekend, God's gonna show up and your scales are gonna be removed from your eyes, and you're gonna experience the love of Jesus and repent of your sin and become a believer. But we're all on this journey. And I love about Paul's story is that every couple of chapters I would start reading and I'm like, didn't I already read this? Like, here he goes again, telling his story. He told his story to the Jewish leaders. He told a story to the mayor. He told a story to the governor. And then at the end in Acts chapter 26, he finds himself in front of King Agrippa and he's telling his story again. And if you look at his story, there's a framework that he uses to tell his story that can apply to all of us. And I just want us to look at it together for just a moment. He always starts with who he used to be. Who you were. Look at Acts 26, verse 9. I used to believe that I ought to do everything I could to oppose the very name of Jesus, the Nazarene. Indeed, I did just that in Jerusalem. Authorized by the leading priests, I caused many believers there to be sent to prison. I wonder if you felt the emotion of the next sentence. And I cast my vote against them when they were condemned to death. I remember, if you remembered, Stephen, the first martyr, that Paul signed off on him dying. Many times I had them punished in the synagogues to get them to curse Jesus. I was so violently opposed to them that I even chased them down in foreign cities. He never forgot where he came from. He never forgot who he used to be. Do you remember who you used to be? Do you remember before Jesus came into your life? Before you repented of your sin? I remember. I grew up in this church. And for many, many years, I had all the information I needed to know about him right here. But there was a massive gap between my head and my heart. I moved out of the house at 17 years old and I partied. And I did everything I could to find fulfillment in the things the world offers. I remember what it was like to sit in a service like this and hear all the words, but nothing really connect in my heart. Then he goes on to say what happened. Remembers who he was, but then what happened? Paul tells about his encounter with Jesus. And this is where you're like, man, I've heard this so many times. About noon, your majesty, I was on the road. A light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down. And I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord, I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you to appoint you as my servant and my witness. You're gonna tell people that you've seen me and you're gonna tell them what I show you in my future. He tells them what his life used to be like, but he just says, then everything changed. Here's what happened to me. I remember 3 months after I started my freshman year in college, I went to an oyster roast that turned into a small group Bible study. And I'll never forget that night. For whatever reason, that was when God chose to connect the dots from my head to my heart. And I remember just weeping over my sin and being overwhelmed with the love of God and his forgiveness for me, confessing my sin and repenting of it. And me and five other guys got saved that night. One other one still in ministry to this day. Jesus saved me. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. Do you remember when that happened for you? Do you remember when you became aware of just your sin and doing things your own way? It wasn't working. And you sensed the love of Christ just drawing you and not condemning you. Saying, I love you. I've died for you. I've paid a price for your sin. So who you used to be, what happened, and then who you are now. And you can read the story, but Paul basically says, hey, by the way, that's what I'm doing now, is being a witness to what Jesus told me to do. And I've done it in Jerusalem, and I've done it on the mission field, and I've done it in front of the poor, I've done it in front of the rich, and now here I am standing before you, King Agrippa. And I will never stop talking about the resurrected Jesus Christ. Not just that Jesus was, everybody knew, this is first century, they knew about Jesus, but it wasn't that they were Christians or that they knew about Jesus that was so offensive to people. It was that Jesus rose from the dead. It was that Jesus was the Messiah. And that puts everybody on decision. Am I gonna receive that or am I gonna reject that? And he says, even you, King Agrippa, perhaps you, and it's so funny because the king goes, dude, are you kidding me? Do you really think I'm gonna become a Christian like you so quickly? And what does Paul say? Whether quickly or not is irrelevant to me, but my hope and my prayer and my longing because of what God has done in my life and what I've seen, I'm a different man than I used to be, is that everyone would experience the same thing I have minus the chains that I'm in right now. And there was a boldness and a power, like Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that was on him, that was willing to share the good news no matter what the cost. And so I don't know what kind of delay you're facing right now. And I don't know what platform God's given you. I've got a friend, Lisa and I, named Amy, and God has given her just an incredible influence in the world of social media. Hundreds of thousands of followers. And over the last couple of years, God's been doing a work in her life. And really, she's felt called to use her influence and platform to share about what God has done in her life. And I woke up on Friday morning, and one of the first things I saw was a video that she had posted the day before. And she was just sharing about where she used to be, that she used to struggle with an eating disorder. And it had been a battle that she had faced all the way through adulthood. And she had gone and experienced healing power of the gospel in her life, and she'd gone to counseling and seen God do a tremendous work, and she was talking about how she is experiencing now the freedom and who she is today. And just to see, man, that platform blow up with people going, wow, thank you for sharing that. That impacted me. I don't know what your platform is. I don't know who your sphere of influence is. But if someone were to ask you today to share about the hope you have in Jesus, how would you respond? Maybe use Paul's framework, who you were, what happened, and who you are now. Paul would end up going to Rome, like I said, and he'd be there for a couple of years. And then he would be led out of the city of Rome, and he would take his last breath before he was beheaded because he refused to stop talking about the resurrection of Jesus. But then the baton was passed to some new believers, and they continued to be witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus to the ends of the earth, and the gospel continued to grow and grow and grow. And churches were established all over the world. And 2,000 years later, we continue to beg Jesus for his power that would be evident anytime we show up in church, at work, in our relationships with people, that we would take the baton and continue to be witnesses to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. So that's the call for us. I don't know what delay you're in, but let's trust God that he's at work even when we can't see it. Let's trust him that He's doing deep work in our own lives. And some of us, we want so desperately to get out of this season that we're in. Don't miss the ministry that's happening in the middle of it. And then that we would be faithful to share the hope that we have. Because when we're going through delays, we've got the attention of the world. When everything's going great for you, God bless you. I'm happy for that. I pray that for you. But nobody wants to hear from you in that season. But when you're going through hard stuff, people are listening and the world is listening. Let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for the amazing story of Paul. Lord, the amazing testimony of his changed life. And we're grateful for the words that he wrote and for the scripture that we have now as a guide. And so I thank you, Lord, that 2,000 years later, many of us are going through our own unique delays, frustrations, battles with our health, financial pressure, divorce. God, we just bring them to you right now. Lord, we reaffirm our trust in you. Lord, that even when we don't understand what's going on, we can trust. Lord, that you see our future and that you're at work in whatever we're facing. Lord, help us to be faithful with the hard things. Help us to be faithful with the suffering. Lord, help us to just testify about the good things that you're doing in our life, the saving work of Jesus, no matter what we're walking through in our lives. And God, for the people that are here today that maybe have never tasted or seen of your goodness, God, known the love that you have for them, I pray that even in this moment, that they would just surrender their lives to Christ. And you don't have to pray a certain prayer or say words in exactly the right way, but just to say, Jesus, I believe that you are who you said you were. Believe that you're the Son of God, that you came and you died for my sin, but you rose from the dead. And I want to receive you. I want to give you my life. I repent of my sin. I want to walk with you. God, we love you. Would you continue to move in us as we respond? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.